Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
What are we going to call it?
We can name him after your father.
Tiberius? You kidding me? No, that's the worst. Let's name him after your dad. Let's call him Jim. Sweetheart, can you hear me? I love you so much. I love you.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. We are back in our final installment discussing Star Trek conventions.
Yay!
That's the effervescent David Cohen. We used to say I'm the present. Which do you prefer?
You changed that. Now you say effervescent. I feel like I have to be effervescent.
That's
but it works. It gets me interested in something I have no interest in. So, yeah.
And speaking of I'm the present, when we discuss Star Trek conventions, Michael Wiener is here, as is Dr. Richard Richter and Dr. Wiener. Both attended the Star Trek conventions in the past and this one in particular in Vegas. With me.
Right. Can I just ask you guys a question? Do you have any patience at all? Because you're here the third time now talking about this stuff. Is your practice just going down the tubes or what's going on?
Yeah, you know, Michael has more patience than anyone that I know. A different kind of patience.
Yes,
put
I
up
got
with
it.
All of this.
David, that was very funny.
What?
Your statement.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Richard. We should have these guys here every week. We have had them here every
which
week.
Which statement was that?
Douglas,
that was
you
funny.
Didn't tell me David was a funny guy. I was being sarcastic,
Douglas.
I was being
okay.
Sarcastic.
And I knew he was being sarcastic. All right,
I missed the whole thing. Although what I didn't miss was the significance of that clip, which was from the first J.J. Abrams
didn't
album.
Work. See, I'm trying to divert the subject matter away, and you're bringing it right back.
I just thought that Star Trek still has relevance today. I think J.J. Abrams' movies have been wonderful. I think the beginning of the first movie set the tone with its feeling to it. There's also a nod to the past, if you talk about Tiberius being the middle name and of James Tiberius Kirk and so forth. So I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think Star Trek is alive and well. They're coming on the 50th anniversary. This, I believe, next year will be the 50th anniversary of the broadcast of the first Star Trek episode. We're on 45 years of conventions, and that's what we're discussing today. Some of what is the attraction to a Star Trek convention to someone like myself is not only everything we just spoke about over the last 2 weeks in terms of autographs and photographs and costumes and set pieces, but I'm interested in and have a lot of fun listening to some of the presentation by the actors on stage. We talked about there's a main room that can seat, I don't know the number, but I'm going to say 10,000 people, a huge amount of people. And they fill that room with speeches from the various, guests. I really want to capture, before we get into a live presentation, Richard's angst and discussion that he has about these questions, because the format is where these people take stage and they're asked questions by the fans. So let's just hear a little bit about what went on this time.
They need somebody to screen these people coming up and asking the questions because they're insane, some of them. Douglas, I remember the Chocolate Man especially, where he came up to Kate Mulgrew. He said how he followed her to all the different conventions. He bordered on being a stalker.
But I also remember another person would bring up their sort of a wheelbarrow, if you will, their two pet dogs and wanted to introduce them.
Today, there was a group of people in costume. They were very nice costumes, but they asked David Warner to bless their baby, and it wasn't even a real baby. It was a toy baby. What a complete waste of time.
Did you hear that angst and aggravation from the gold member himself, the gold ticket holder?
I admit it, Douglas. I was reaching a level of frustration that knows no bounds.
And because sometimes the presentations are wonderful. Sometimes they invoke that. Although I want to go to and follow up on that blessing. Was that blessing ever done?
You know, I don't remember. All I remember is we wanted to hear David Weller. He had a limited amount of time on stage. We wanted some reasonable questions of interest to the general audience there, And these people completely wasted the time.
Actually, the blessing was from Carl Urban. Let's see if we...
Yes, it was Carl, yes.
We have traveled far with the Nibiru, and we were there on the day of Great Awakening when the ship arose from the waters. And I wanted to ask you if you would mind blessing my baby. We think it's the chosen one.
Yes, indeed. I would just like to say I was never on that planet. I'd like to disavow any knowledge of that. But I'm happy to bless your baby. I bless this baby. Very good. Let's give these Nibirus a hand.
That's just total insanity. Talk about insanity.
What was Keith Urban doing there? That's what I'd like to know.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
He's
Who's
the
Carl
Dr.
Urban?
McCoy of the new J.J. Abrams.
Oh, okay, Dr. McCoy.
Yes.
All right, you have to put it in plain speak for people like me.
Well, that's not a problem. That's why you're here, to bring us down to earth back from the Netherlands. But
Thank you for letting me experience that whole thing again, Douglas.
I know you love that. Other than that, the topics that usually are discussed are the meaning of Star Trek and the stories, or their participation in the roles and how it came about, or some life advice, some people like that. The stars talk about that. So there is some fun that's had and some nice... point of view that's presented, but I also would suggest that there's undercurrent of a literary tradition in Star Trek, at least going back to the original show and maybe the Next Generation. Let's listen to a little clip about and bringing us to some literature, some class, some culture to Star Trek that we've heard in the past.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee.
So that was the original Gregory Peck in the original Moby Dick, Ricardo Montalban in Wrath of Khan. I throw that out there as a discussion point. If anybody, do you feel there's any significance, any literary significance to Star Trek at all? Michael?
You're putting me on the spot here. I'm not really sure.
Well, let's see if we can convince you with one more clip.
Piled on the whale's white helm. The sum of all the rage and hate felt by his whole race. If his chest had been a cannon, he would have shot his heart upon it.
Ahab spent years hunting the white whale that crippled him. The quest for vengeance. But in the end, it destroyed him.
So there is a undercurrent, I'm going to suggest. You can find many clips to old works of art, old literature throughout Star Trek. What does Captain Picard do at the end of almost every episode in his room? He's reading a hardcover book.
We can't say it on the air.
He's reading a hardcover book, and he does an homage.
He's in his room alone at the end of every episode?
Remember, we're talking about the fun and adventure of Star Trek.
I'm sure he was, too.
Basically rendered all of these three speechless with this argument.
I think they were rendered speechless before that, but okay.
Let's hear if we can remember what Star Trek's all about.
Where's hidden, Captain? Second star to the right, and straight on to the morning.
We will be back right after the commercials to discuss more about the substance of what these actors are telling us when we're at a Star Trek convention, and more specifically the Las Vegas convention 2014 on Everything Old is New Again.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. Right now, I'm holding a book that could change your life. It will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and you worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at the age of 80, well, you need to read this free book. The reality is, you'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-617-4989. Are you skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-617-4989. That's 1-800-617-4989. 1-800-617-4989.
When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to resumedoctorinc@aol.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to resumedoctorinc@aol.com. That's resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, TalkZone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth.
TalkZone.com.
This is Everything Old is New Again.
T. Earl Grey, hot.
America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hi, this is Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
How do you like that?
Sounds like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it does. It's Paul McGann,
it's the Eighth Doctor.
Of the Doctor Who fame, and we did a triumvirate, me, you, and our friend Chris Solger, producer, right, came on board, and I say sometimes, and that is sometimes on the show, and we went to the Doctor Who convention recently in Long Island, and we'll have to do a show about that coming up. A lot of fun.
Three shows or one? Just like we're doing for Star Trek?
No, we'll probably just do one. Maybe two. Depends on the number of clips we have. Speaking of clips, though, we're back to the Star Trek convention, the substance of what goes on. Let's look at the positive side and capture Richard discussing the speech that he had heard at the second day of the convention from...
First of all, his name is pronounced Wong. He is so fan-friendly. What a gentleman. And as a speaker, he's very dynamic, too. He interacts with the audience. He can be humorous at times. He has very interesting stories that all behind-the-scene type of events that happen.
So I think what we're saying is some of these actors are on stage, so kind of simply answering questions, and that's fine. But you're hearing a performance, if you will, from this Garrett Wang, almost a comedy routine. Is that a fair assumption?
That's very accurately stated.
Oh, very nice. Nice to hear that.
That's Michael being as succinct as possible, as usual. And I enjoyed that discussion. I enjoyed the presentation that day of Garrett Wang. Do you remember that, Michael?
Yes. Some of the actors come on and they just say, do you have any questions? And that's really the lazy way out. Come prepared. Tell us something that we haven't heard before. And you're an actor. That's your job.
They're getting paid for it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Big money. And there are many times some of these characters come out, and they just say, hello, it's great to be here. Okay, let's take questions. You could clearly see that it's kind of rote. It's not really an exciting event for them.
And that's when you want to shoot yourself, because right, half the questions aren't screened, and they're useless.
Wow, we still
are. I don't get that. I don't get, first of all, I think you have to be pretty blessed to be, a working actor, okay, at all, and then to be asked to come out and meet the fans, the people who are putting, bread in your mouth and just not being into it. I don't get that.
And we shouldn't say that that's all of them. There are many that don't do that. We just heard about Garrett Wang. We heard about William Shatner on stage, Leonard Nimoy. These guys are consummate professionals. They have a show almost, an original performance of what's going on in their life or something that happened on Star Trek. It's a lot of fun. Some advice as to how they got a role or what they feel about the character they play.
You know, I don't want Scotty to be a clown. People don't refer to Scotty as a comedy character, and I'm always like, well, I know he's not a comedy character. There is something comic in his reaction to things. He's very kind of cynical. He's kind of like an ordinary guy in an extraordinary situation. That's really fun to play.
So, there is some significant discussion about the character themselves. Whichever you're into the show, you want to hear the actor. What went behind their performance? Why did they do a certain thing on stage?
Right.
So it's it brings the fan in, inside of the mindset of the actor, if you will, and you kind of have some fun being at the convention, getting information no one else really has, because right. they're not at this event.
Right. You only know that actor as the person you see on the screen. Now you get to know him.
Right,
and
it's not one of these interviews on The Tonight Show or something where they're just doing a clip and trying to get in something funny and produce, you know, people to watch, you know, whatever their latest performance is. So it's interesting. Besides that, you don't just have actors. We have seen in the past producers and writers of the show. And Brendan Braga talked about at the most recent convention, he had written and was very involved with Enterprise and other shows, but Enterprise, and he was talking about the last episode that he wrote. And, you know, not everybody is perfect, so let's see what he has to say.
The final episode of Enterprise was an idiotic move on my part. I thought it would be cool to do a Valentine to all of Star Trek. It sounded good in my head. What ended up airing was really bad. It was the only time Scott Bakula ever got pissed off at me.
So, I mean, you know, it's just a clear, like, what would you say? He's just speaking without any filter. He's kind of having a discussion with this large audience about what he did, in this case, what he didn't feel worked. And that's totally unique. No, Mike?
For those who know the show, Enterprise starred Scott Bakula, who is now in NCIS New Orleans. And in that last show, they actually moved the timeline up to the Next Generation, and they were just looking back at the Enterprise from that last series. And instead of highlighting the Enterprise crew, they were highlighting the Next Generation crew, and people thought it was insulting.
Well, what did you feel about? Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off there. You said you thought it was insulting, or people did. What did you feel about, though, being at the convention and hearing the writer address these concerns?
Well, there was so much controversy in the press, and people were upset. So it was nice that he was admitting that there was a mistake made.
Yeah, and you're hearing an interaction that you're not going to hear anywhere else. I mean, that is something that I think is important to acknowledge. And this fellow's a pretty well-known guy. He did Cosmos. Let's hear what he has to say about that.
One of the reasons I was so passionate about Cosmos, I threw myself into it so deeply, is there was some part of me that missed that Star Trek feeling. So I channeled some of that into Cosmos.
So, you know, at least for him, and I think some of the writers and producers of this show, they've gone on to 24, they've gone on to Cosmos, they've gone on to a lot of other shows, Terra Nova. They're accomplished individuals, have careers unto themselves. Michael, talk to us about what you feel Star Trek has in terms of its influence on our pop culture today in some television shows or where you see it being referenced.
Well, the more you know of Star Trek, the more you see the references. You would not even notice them if you were not a fan. Seth MacFarlane is a huge fan. So in The Family Guy, there are references all the time. And in fact, he brought the whole cast of The Next Generation back, you know, well after the series ended and did a show with him. The Big Bang Theory. Not only have Star Trek characters been in the show, Will Wheaton has a recurring role, nice. But they're always making Star Trek references. The Sheldon character, who is very Spock-like, is you know, always referencing Klingons and Spock, and this is one of the most popular shows on TV today. So it certainly reflects the popularity of Star Trek that continues.
It's interesting that the writer-producer of Cosmos, which is a significantly serious show, talked about his participation in that was influenced by his experience with Star Trek.
Right?
Right? David has nothing to
say. I heard
here.
That. No, I'm a...
Just trying to get you to...
I'm listening and I'm
he's enthralled with it. He is. I think at some point you have to acknowledge that whether you like it or not, Star Trek references have some fun and flip meanings, like "Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life here." You know, see those bumper stickers and all. But also there's some significant deep meanings of some of what they've done.
Yeah, I was just sitting here trying to think of other current Star Trek references. There's just the fact that they've relaunched the whole movie series and it's a smash hit.
Yeah, and is it, they're working on the third one. It's going to come out in 2016 for the anniversary of the 50th, the 50th anniversary of the show. So it's a fun topic, but getting back to the convention itself, what would you say, Richard, if you can recall, would be your most either fun or most awkward experience at all of these conventions you've gone to?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question because we've had a blast. But the thing that always stands out in my mind, Douglas, is at the Hilton, the Star Trek experience, which we were all saddened when they took that down. And then, of course, they moved to the Rio, which is a beautiful hotel. That was incredible. You actually had the experience.
What is the start? Can you explain what that is or what it was?
Douglas, could you elaborate on that for me?
Yes, it was a fan-friendly homage to Star Trek, but better than that, you were taken with the technology of the day into the ship and into an adventure. You were beamed onto a ship. You were then taken into a shuttlecraft and done like one of these, you know, Disney rides and flew around Las Vegas. And they also had another one where the Voyager crew, you were being attacked by Borg. And it was very lifelike,
David,
if you were in an episode.
You stood in a room that went dark, saw flashes of light, and then when your vision came back, you were in a different room.
Wow.
And you never knew it.
Yeah, it was wonderful. They also had a great museum, which they had at this convention, but a terrific museum of pieces that we used.
And really quickly, why is it gone?
Don't know.
Huh.
Don't know.
It was a monetary issue.
Right.
They want you to use the space.
We'll be right back.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-719-2724. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-719-2724. That's 1-800-719-2724. 1-800-719-2724.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own.com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hello, my name is Fraser Hines. I play Jamie McCrimmon, the longest-running companion in Doctor Who, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again, Jamie.
Listen to that. So, another franchise, not Star Trek, but Doctor Who franchise, that we went to the convention and met all the stars. I thought it was fun and interesting. We weren't really fans of Doctor Who, so we kind of didn't really recognize if these are people that are well-known in England especially or not, but looking them up on the Internet, these are some well-accomplished individuals that had to deal with my questions, the insanity.
But were nice enough to do those intros for us.
Exactly, which was great. We're back talking about Star Trek conventions and the advice that we get from some of the stars. Peter Weller, I thought, was very interesting and very different than some of the people you see on stage. Richard was enthralled by that, and I got a little clip of him talking about it the night.
Peter Weller, real quick?
He'll tell you.
Character?
He'll tell you.
All right, sorry.
He didn't just address the audience about the movie career. He made a point of educating the audience, and his persona projects just like Admiral Marcus in the movie. He has a commanding presence.
Cyrus the Great, 526, he frees the Jews in Babylon. He had a vision, a Zoroastic one-God vision that people ought to live in their indigenous home. People didn't free people in 526 BCE. You come to Denmark, 100 people perished because the king put on a Star of David and said, we're all Jews here. And the Nazis didn't know what the hell to do. You got a machine gun pointed at you and you say, give up the Jews, the Egyptians, and everybody else. Those moments of history of revival got to be told.
Michael, you were there for that. How would you characterize his presentation?
Certainly a lot different than the usual. I mean, he was a bit more political than maybe the audience was expecting.
A bit, right.
But he loved this topic, and he's got a master's in history.
Very entertaining.
It's RoboCop, right?
Yes. Yes, and he was trying to present to us an idea, beyond Star Trek and about, the world in general and how courageous certain people were back in the past. And it was very interesting. I had not heard the story about World War II that he mentioned there, so quite educational, I thought. Richard?
But he's a teacher also. Isn't he a professor at a university?
Syracuse.
And he does one of your favorite shows, Engineering Empire.
Absolutely. He was terrific. It was really a lot of fun. He had a little more to say, maybe more about some advice that he presented.
First law of prosperity in Sanskrit, Hinduism. Find out what you really want to do and do that.
That's a simple statement, but he backs it up with, exactly where it's coming from, the mythology behind it. He certainly was more than just that one clip. He was really exciting and different to see, and you're not going to see that discussion that he's talking about on any talk show that he's on television. Make sense? That same kind of point of view was brought to life by Simon Pegg, who was at the convention.
Follow your dream. It's very important that you do that. I think as a person, if you can, you have to follow what you're kind of. I know it sounds so cheesy, my God, but it is like if there's something that you really love doing, do it however you can. Even if you have to do it in your spare time, do it. This is that, Make time to do the thing you love doing, and that will make you happy.
Simple, basic, simple advice that maybe you're at the convention and you're not expecting that, but you get an affirmation, let's say, from a star that you may, respect in some way on stage. I think that it's of interest. I think it's fun to hear that other than just hearing, what the Gorn had to say about William Shatner and working with him. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but this is certainly another dynamic that you see and hear at a Star Trek convention. There's also some advice given every so often. Let's see what Simon Pegg has to say about comedy.
Do as many gigs as you can and get out and play in clubs, do 5 minutes for free and get people to like you and then they'll invite you back for 10 minutes. You just got to keep at it. And no matter how many times you die on stage, you go, you reset and you do it again. Never, ever take dying on stage as a reason to stop doing comedy.
He's a comedian?
Yeah, he's a comedian in England before he started up. He's a writer, a director. He did Shaun of the Dead.
Just to remind people like me who he is.
He's a Scotty of the new
Scotty.
Right? And he wrote and directed Shaun of the Dead, which was quite successful in the zombie genre, but it was a comedy as well. And some others, I think it was Paul was the name of it.
Great movie.
Yeah, another one, he wrote that one. He had some advice. It wasn't just, how long does it take to put on the makeup? There's other discussions going on. And let's hear what William Shatner could give a little bit of advice.
I directed Star Trek V, so I suggested the story of Star Trek go in search of God, we find the devil, and we escape. No, he can't do God. What happens if it's an alien who thinks he's God? And I said yes. And that compromise led to the gutting of the story. When do you say, I am not doing that because that's against my principle, or I will do that, but I'll make 3 steps if you take 2?
So, I think I've made the point here, but there's, again, different kind of discussion. He's talking about, what you go through with your career and in life and when you should compromise and when not. Richard, do you have anything to say about my theme here of the substance of what you're getting from these people?
just what we've already said earlier, Douglas, some of the actors come on, they have really nothing to say other than ask any questions, you know, bless my baby, and then you have others that really do provide you with a lot of insight and some thought-provoking stories or comments.
Michael, anything to add?
I agree 100% with what Richard said.
Did you take anything from this convention, any of those clips we talked about? Did that reaffirm anything for you? Would you suggest that had any effect on you whatsoever?
I mean, do I think it's going to change my life in some way? No, I don't think so.
Right. But what did you think of hearing
it? Shot down the whole segment.
I already have that, desire in my life to follow my dream, to do what I think is right.
But what is the makeup of the people listening to this? Give me an age makeup of what you saw in the audience listening to this presentation.
There are children. There are people middle-aged, like unfortunately we are, and there are people probably in their 70s and older. They're all there for the same reason. People bring their children who then get involved. And whether the actor has something really profound to say or whether it's kind of ordinary, it's still it's still very interesting. Okay. And always fun.
And I also found it interesting to hear the references from Peter Weller to history, the references to, you know, never giving up and so forth. You know, for a younger person, if I had my daughter there, you know, if they or son and they had respected these actors, I think it may be more impressionable for a younger person, but it's positive messages. Have you heard any negative messages or some experiences maybe with Harlan Ellison that, Richard, you had a little difficulty with, or no? Is it always positive?
You know what? I did not enjoy him to the point that after a while someone's speaking and all you hear is wah, 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 meaning I don't even remember what the man talked about other than I felt it was degrading and insulting to the audience.
Who was that?
Now, that's
a
writer of one of the episodes, and he's won many awards. His name is Harlan Ellison. He wrote City on the Edge of Forever, which The Guardian, which we referenced previously, was a member, part of. But he was just inanely talking about himself and how wonderful he is.
Oh, and how many women he slept with, a thousand or whatever.
Yeah, we literally got up and walked out on that.
That has no place at a Star Trek convention.
I was going to say, speaking about your accomplishments with women, I mean, Trekkies
can't relate to that.
We can't relate to that at all.
But we have to admit that was one of many, many who were very good. So I don't think we should.
Oh no! Just trying to bring, you need a kind of brush this whole thing, paint the whole canvas. There's good and bad everywhere.
Makes you appreciate somebody like Peter Weller.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after these commercial messages. Everything old is new again. Come on back for our final discussion of Star Trek conventions.
Are you afraid of the IRS? Worried because you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Worried because you've neglected to file your taxes for a year or more? If you're afraid of the IRS, relax, because you don't have to deal with them on your own. With one easy phone call to TaxCare USA, you can find out what exactly your tax settlement options are. You don't have to talk to the IRS directly. See how quickly it can all be taken care of by calling 1-800-721-9697. Our experienced professionals at TaxCare USA understand how the IRS works and will deal with them directly on your behalf. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify for a tax debt settlement or other favorable programs. You could potentially save thousands. Get the free confidential information you need at 1-800-721-9697. You don't have to deal with the IRS on your own. Call TaxCare USA before it's too late. Again, for free confidential information, call 1-800-721-9697. 1-800-721-9697.
Are you over 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds? If so, the next 60 seconds are crucial to your well-being, because we're giving away free trials of New Garcinia Cambogia to anyone looking to lose the maximum amount of weight. To experience the most dramatic weight loss, you must be over 25 and want to lose more than 30 pounds. Call now for your free full-size trial. 1-800-496-1026. A famous doctor called Garcinia Cambogia the holy grail of weight loss, and it's no wonder why. New Garcinia Cambogia is so powerful, you can lose up to 4 pant sizes without starving yourself or spending hours at the gym. But hurry. Due to overwhelming demand, there's a strict limit of 1 free trial per household. Again, if you're over 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds, it's crucial that you write down this number for your free trial of New Garcinia Cambogia. 1-800-496-1026. 1-800-496-1026. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-496-1026.
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show.
Captain, I suggest Vulcan Mind Probe.
Everything old is new again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Okay, what is happening now, Jay?
Well, we're going to return to Everything Old is New Again with Doug and Dave.
Oh, okay. I got nothing else better to do.
Got nothing else better to do. That's Jay Johnson, our friend from Soap. And the show we had listened to previously or presented, hopefully you've listened to if you haven't heard it. It's a great show. Go back to our podcast, which is on everythingoldisnewagain.biz. We are back discussing all things Star Trek. You know, Star Trek also is not so bland and always discussing, philosophy or history. And the show itself has some musical backgrounds as well. I just wanted to play. I'm just throwing this out there. Change gears. This is my favorite song from Star Trek.
Head now to Eden. No more trouble. My body or my mind.
Anybody remember that episode?
I hate that episode.
I reach, man. I reach. That's a little trivia question that goes a little ways back. I just had to throw that out there for all you Trekkies or Trekkers, which would it be, that would just absolutely flip over hearing that over the radio. I've never heard that before. What is it? Trekkies, Trekkers, Trekkies?
I thought you guys were Trekkers, because Trekkies is...
Well, we're Trekkalites. I thought we established
Trek-lite,
that.
Trekkalites, right.
Trekkalites, yes.
Doug is the Trekker.
Yeah. And that was a throwback to the hippies in the 1960s.
Yeah, it's a reflection of the time of the day. That's what I love about Star Trek, as opposed to these shoot-em-ups. It's more of a reflection of societies, and we examine that. Is there really Eden? Is there really, can there be peace across the board or not? You know. Anyway, back to the Star Trek convention discussion. We were at the convention taping what we've heard over the last three shows, and I just wanted to throw out there a little bit of the outtakes of what we did, because it wasn't always so serious and significant discussions. We were sitting up in the hotel room at the end of the evening, taping a little bit and having some fun. Let's hear what Richard had to say.
Thank you, Douglas. Thank you, Douglas. Most definitely. Probably has no room. Pardon me, it's actually a little humorous, but it doesn't always want you hanging them all over the house.
This is all, of course. But so you have you gone to anyone's home where they?
Hello, Douglas. Thank you for having us. No, Douglas. That's correct, Douglas. Yes, that's correct, Douglas. Yes.
I love when you call me Douglas. That sounds like I'm being called in to take the garbage out at home. Michael Dorn and LaVar Burton.
Yes.
You seem to imply that you are on a search in Vegas for something special.
Dave, you can take over from there.
That's just wacky. You guys are...
You know what it is? It's probably funny for nobody but us, but that was hysterical.
I think we had too much Romulan ale, and we were trying to put the string together cohesive thoughts.
You can hear Mike in the background just trying to be the voice of reason, and these two idiots just can't keep it together.
Well, a full day at a convention, it's got to take a lot out of you. Man.
Actually, 5 days at conventions.
Or
the convention. It was how long was it? 5 day convention, right?
It was
four nights:
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, now I'm back to this is crazy. I was with you for a while, but seriously, so 4 full days you guys showed up for this thing?
4 full days, and we went for it. And guess what? There was a ton of stuff we didn't get a chance to see. You know, we didn't participate in all of it. We, you know, there's like Scott Bakula was doing his thing with a photo opportunity, and at the same time Peter Weller was on stage. We couldn't see them both. By the way, Richard, I don't know if you want to share Scott Bakula's story about. I don't know if we finished that thought about what he did with the photographs we saw.
Yes, you know, Scott Bakula. Wow, what a new level of respect and admiration I have for that man. During the autograph line, he's friendly with everyone. But there was a
special needs
child, I think severely autistic and maybe a little physically handicapped. He was taking picture after picture after picture at no extra cost, spending so much quality time with this poor, you know, poor girl. I just loved the guy after that.
It really showed what a good person he was, not just there to take the money of the people who were visiting, but really give something back.
Right. So it was moving to see what he did, because usually it's one photograph, you're out. He spent a good, I don't know, it doesn't sound like a lot of time, but I'm going to say 8-10 minutes with this person, and it made the person's day for sure, if not, I don't know, whatever. Tremendous experience for life, you know. Michael got a little insight on the next movie when we're at the convention.
Scotty in the new movie series. This was his first convention. He discussed that we're probably going to be seeing the third movie sometime next year, but it's supposed to be set in deep space.
Listen to that excitement. Do you hear how excited he gets?
Yeah.
Michael, were you excited to hear something new about the new movie?
I was tired, but yes, very excited.
You need to have this in the background now from now on.
There was some criticism that the second movie took place much too much in San Francisco and not enough in space where Star Trek belongs. So we're all looking forward to the third movie, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Dave, any questions left, though? Did we cover everything that you had in mind in terms of what's going on at these conventions?
We haven't even scratched the surface. One thing I want to... Can I really ask questions?
Yes, get involved.
So, look, you guys have this passion, I understand, but it's also not something that, you know, just comes up in normal conversation, I imagine, right? So, how has it affected you? Maybe each one of you can just briefly talk about it. I'm just curious as to, like, when you, quote-unquote, came out of the closet about this with a significant other in your life, whether it was a girlfriend, whether it was your wife, or maybe another good friend, did you feel... awkward about doing it, and what was the reaction when you actually told someone how deeply interested you are in this?
Michael?
Well, it's been no secret since I was 5 years old that I was a science fiction fan. So my wife, if that wasn't going to be good for her, she was going to have to learn to enjoy it with me, which she has. So I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about. I think more people should enjoy Star Trek and not less.
Richard?
Yeah, I think for me it comes up more in casual conversation. I mean, patients might be in my office at a certain point, see a Star Trek autograph photo on the wall, or in my house, the basement theater area, there's a lot of Star Trek memorabilia. Someone will say, hey, I love that show. And then all of a sudden it strikes up a conversation.
But I'm talking about when now you guys are a little older, you're comfortable with it, but, you know, when you were younger, when you were on a date, when you were getting to know your wife.
I never spoke about Star Trek when I was on a date. Right. No.
So when did she kind of get the reality of the situation?
I understand your question now, David. After we were married, I would watch at 11 o'clock... The Odd Couple, 11:30, The Honeymooners, and 12 to 1, Star Trek. And after, you know, a week of that, I think she began to catch on.
what was her point of view? I mean, she's very understanding of all of this.
You know what? I'm such a blessed man. That woman, I can do no wrong with.
Great.
May I say one thing? My wife has a photo of Counselor Troy in her office, so I have converted her.
Wow. That's big.
And my wife ignores that it even exists. In other words,
But there must have been some point where it was exposed to her that what a fanatic you are about the show.
Well, yes and no. In my later years, I don't even watch it so much anymore. I don't really watch the reruns. I'll go to the brand new movie, and that's about it. I don't talk about it. I tried once to... That episode we spoke about a couple shows ago about it's called Tapestry, where Captain Picard dies and is given an opportunity to change his life, fate versus free will. I tried to have her watch that one time deep into our relationship, and she literally fell asleep like 5 minutes in. And then we have a joke now. She says, you know, she woke up at some point. I said, did you watch that show? What did you think of it? I don't know. There was something about a Nausicaan, and that was the alien bomb. And that is all she knows about Star Trek. And if you ask her a question, we will laugh and just say, that's what she'll say, something about a Nausicaan. So she's totally on the periphery, and it's not a cornerstone of my life other than the 4 days that I go to Vegas.
Right.
And my philosophy of life has certainly come from that. And my excitement and my Peter Pan type of attitude towards life comes from Star Trek. Hey, no doubt.
You guys agree with that?
He reminds me of Peter Pan, yes.
Look, if you live the life that Star Trek portrays, it can only lead to good things.
Cool.
How do you like that?
Well said.
Well
Very
said.
Good.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, David. We will be back with Everything Old is New Again next week.
If you're overwhelmed by debt and thinking about going to a credit counseling company for help, think again, because the majority of those companies actually work for the credit card companies, and they make the credit card companies a lot of money from people just like you. But there's another way out of debt, and it's not bankruptcy, a way to reduce your debts and save you thousands of dollars. Even better, you can find out how for free by calling 1-800-508-2757. At Freedom Debt Relief, we're not a credit counseling organization. We're not a debt consolidation company. We offer a unique alternative to save you the most money possible to resolve your debt in the shortest amount of time. If you're thinking about a credit counselor, ask yourself this. Are they working for you or the credit card companies? Reduce your debts and save thousands of dollars by learning the secrets to settling your debt. For free information, call 1-800-508-2757. That's 1-800-508-2757. 1-800-508-2757.
Did you know that right now you could be carrying around up to 22 pounds of undigested waste? 22 pounds of gunk caked to the inside of your colon, plus toxins we eat and breathe spread throughout our vital organs, making us feel terrible. If you often feel tired, sluggish, and bloated, you need to call for a free trial of Zymbiotics. This revolutionary all-natural product cleanses undigested waste from your colon, flattening your belly and eliminating bloating, heartburn, and acid reflux, so you feel healthy and energetic. For a free full-size trial, call 1-800-935-6026. Because of our poor diets and polluted environment, toxins and waste build up inside us and affect how we feel. In fact, many doctors believe sluggish digestion is the number one reason we feel tired and lethargic. So cleanse your body with the unique herbal formula of Zymbiotics. Call now for your free full-size trial so you can feel healthy and energetic. 1-800-935-6026. That's 1-800-935-6026. 1-800-935-6026.